Jimmy Akin is going to help out Jim next in Covina, California. Hi, Jim. You're on the program.
Hi, Mr. Akin. I just purchased your book,
awesome.
The Fathers Know Best.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to reading that. But my question is this. I'm new. I'm going to the RCA program, and I'm new to the Catholic Church. I'm trying to understand the Catholic Church. But my question is this. I have sometimes my Protestant friends will tell me, 1 Timothy 2:5, it'll say, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ." So the argument is, why do I have to go to a priest to confess my sins when the Bible's telling me I have the mediator, Jesus Christ, and I'm trying to figure out a way to respond?
Well, this passage is commonly used in non-Catholic apologetics, not so much as an argument against going to confession. That's what you're interested in, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as an argument against praying to the saints or asking the saints for their intercession. And so the first thing I'd point out is it's absolutely true. Jesus is a unique mediator between God and man. And there are at least two senses in which that's true. The first sense is he's the only person who's both God and man. So he's the unique mediator between God and man in that sense. He's also the mediator through whom the new covenant was brought into existence. His role in that respect is parallel to that of Moses. Moses was the mediator that brought the old covenant into existence. And Paul refers to Moses as a mediator elsewhere in his letters. And so that reveals to us that even though Christ is a unique mediator in the sense of being both God and man and being the mediator of the new covenant, there are other mediators like Moses. And so just because Christ is a unique mediator in one sense, that doesn't flatten the distinction that other people can play in a role of mediator or a go-between, someone that stands between one person and another. And if you think about it, well, there's a sense in which every Christian is a mediator because we all are meant by our words and by our deeds to bring the message of God to others. And I'll pick it up on the other side of the break. So I was pointing out that there are other mediators in Scripture, other people who stand between God and some other party. One would be Moses, who was the mediator of the Old Covenant, the way Jesus is the mediator of the New Covenant. But also all Christians are mediators in a sense. And this is something Paul also talks about. He doesn't use the word mediator, but he indicates that we're all ambassadors for Christ, that we all, either by our words or by our actions, are meant to bring Christ to other people. And similarly, people who preach God's word obviously are mediating God's knowledge about God. They're mediating God's word to other people. And so even though 1 Timothy 2:5 indicates Jesus is a mediator in a unique sense, that doesn't mean there aren't mediators in other senses. So the key is not to say, well, no one else mediates in any way. That's clearly not the case. It's to correctly identify what Christ's role as mediator is. And the way to do that is by looking at the biblical evidence. And so do we have evidence that Jesus forbade anybody to go to confession to someone other than him? Well, no, we don't. There are no passages in the New Testament that say anything remotely like, you can only go to me, Jesus, for confession. There's nothing even remotely like that. In fact, if you look in various passages in the New Testament, such as in the Epistle of James or in 1 John, you have an indication that early Christians practiced confession in their churches after Jesus was no longer on earth. You know, you have exhortations like, let us confess our sins one to another. And that's a reference to the confession, obviously, of sins in the early church, which was often done publicly back in their day. They didn't have private confessionals at that point. And so clearly, based on apostolic practice, you could and were encouraged to confess to other people. Then, if you go to the Gospel of John and you look after the resurrection of Christ, you have Jesus appearing to the disciples, and he breathes on them and says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. And so he's just given the disciples the ability to forgive or retain sins and empowered them by the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. And that has implications for confession, because if he's empowered them to either forgive a sin or retain a sin, that's not forgive it, then they have to make a decision about whether they should forgive a sin or not forgive it. And in order for that to be an informed decision, they need to know some things, like what was the sin and are you genuinely repentant of it? And the only way they can know those things, since most priests are not telepathic, is if we tell them those things. And so, thus, confession. We need to confess to priests so that they have the information they need in order to make a correct and informed choice about whether they should forgive or retain our sins. And so here you have the one mediator, Jesus Christ, indicating that his ministers are going to be hearing confession. And so clearly, not only do we not have any passages that say don't go to anybody but Jesus, we have the mediator himself empowering his ministers to hear confessions. And thus, it's obviously in accord with his will that we do so, and therefore it doesn't interfere with his status as the one mediator. Otherwise, he wouldn't be telling them to do this.
Does that help, Jim?
That makes a lot of sense. Very much so. Moses, I never thought about ambassadors. Thank you very much. You know, as I'm going through the RCA program, I was just going to ask you quickly. Sometimes I feel myself, I don't know if you felt this, but I'll go to church like on Saturdays evening and on Sundays, and I find myself drawn to it. But then sometimes I get doubts. I go, is this the right church? Is that normal? Because sometimes I'll sit there and I'll look around and I'm trying to wrap my head around, see the images and stuff like that. But then for some reason, I'm drawn to the church like I'm going right now in the evening, and I find comfort in there. Is that just my emotions? Is that me or is that God drawing me? Sometimes I get confused.
Well, it's understandable. Now, emotions are part of who we are as human beings, and God designed us to have emotions. So it's not inappropriate at all for our emotions to play a role in our religious life. That should happen. And God has done various things down through history in order to involve our emotions in our faith life. That's one of the reasons, for example, in the Old Testament, that the temple, he gave instructions for the temple and also the tabernacle before it to be made with beautiful, costly materials. Not because God needs beautiful, costly materials. He owns the whole universe. He's got all of that that he could ever want, and he doesn't need it furthermore. But because it would engage our emotions and help bond us to him, he wanted the tabernacle and later the temple to be beautiful to look at, and so they would inspire religious feeling in people. So that's totally normal and appropriate. What we don't want, though, is to be carried away by our emotions. We don't want to allow our emotions to blind us to the truth. And that can also happen, as is obvious from the fact that you have bunches of different religions. They all of them have aspects that their followers find emotionally appealing, and that's part of why they are members of those religions. But they all can't be right. And so while it's appropriate for our emotions to play a role in our faith life and to help bond us to God and to his church, nevertheless, we need to check our emotions to make sure they're not leading us astray. And the way to do that is by looking at the evidence for various points of the Catholic faith, and by asking the kinds of questions like the one you originally called in about, and making sure that there's satisfactory answers to those kind of questions.